you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, July 1st, 2022. Happy July, Jason.
It's July.
What's that verse? For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be with them always.
Okay, yeah.
That verse.
Church discipline verse.
Well, that's very true or appropriate for today. There's four of us in the studio, two dear friends that are pretty regular for our special gathering when we broadcast this Friday's edition of Mark and Friends. Dwayne Berkey, I've given him some shout-outs over the many years that he's volunteered and assisted. He lives right across the street from our Fisher Fuslin Tower and is out there just about five or so days a week doing a number of things. And if we're ever off the air, he's my first go-to before I have to drive out. And he assisted already a couple times this week. And then Alaric Shoffley, who is, I think, the only person that's been here every single time. So he's been storing up all sorts of things to say and participate today. But we appreciate him singing with the Singing Men of GNN. He's probably our number one promoter of the station, or at least the singing Men of GNN. It never fails to see him walking up to somebody and saying, hey, have you considered joining the Singing Men or being a part of this ministry? And has that cheerful, childlike disposition to engage everyone with a smile, and kind of models to many of us what it's like to just love on people. So appreciate you, Alaric, and your servant's heart. He's always here early, usually the first one. Can I set up chairs? Do you need me to take down things on Monday nights or even for our setup for today? So we welcome you to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And this verse that I shared, the 1 John 1:9, along with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I think, Jason, was one of the first verses I ever memorized. And I've probably recited it a few hundred times, I don't know, maybe 1,000 times over the many years, because it's like one of my go-to foundational verses. If we confess our sins, he, being God, being Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I think the many times that I failed or fall short or not measured up, that's like my foundational verse, that if I confess my sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive my sins. And then not only just forgive them, but to cleanse me. And I think if you're not familiar with that verse, meditate on it, let it saturate your mind and heart, because if it doesn't become one of your favorites, it'll be one that you'll certainly probably lean into or go to for encouragement. So today our topic is, what is forgiveness? And so why did you choose that of the myriad of things that we can talk about or discuss?
Well, what is forgiveness? I think that we need to talk about what is forgiveness is because we need to understand that we're plagued by unforgiveness. Something interesting, you know, we're in a season of life in our house where my wife has been going through chemotherapy and she's been dealing with the effects of cancer. And so one of the things that we notice is there is cancer inside of my wife, which we're effectively dealing with medically. But that cancer that is within my wife, it affects everything that happens in our house right now. It affects when we go to the mailbox because there's bills that come from the hospital and from the cancer center and from the doctors and all that. It affects all the conversations we have. It affects all the cards that we get in the mail. It affects when people talk to my wife. They don't say, you know, hey, what's new? What's going on? They're like, how are you feeling? How is things going? How's it? Da-da-da-da-da. It affects what we eat because people are bringing us meals every night. And so, you know, it's not like we're saying, hey, what's for dinner anymore? We're like, who's bringing dinner? Yeah. What's coming? What's going on? You know, I mean, it's just interesting. But cancer is not just something that affects just my wife because she has it, but it affects all of us all the time right now. Every single one of us. And not just us, but it affects our friends. It affects our neighbors. It affects everybody around us. And in the same way, I think that unforgiveness, when somebody has unforgiveness in their heart, it doesn't just affect them, it affects every single person around them. You know, unforgiveness is kind of like a cancer. It's interesting because as I thought about cancer and my wife, and I thought about how that affects all of us around, the other day, I think it was sometime last week, I was thinking, what are some of the other cancers in our lives that might be inside of me or might be inside of somebody else that then I see affecting everybody else in all different kinds of ways?
And I think when you think of cancer, you think of eating away, you know, eating away the good cells or destroying the good cells, and how envy or unforgiveness eats away at the individual that's holding on to it.
Yeah, and so I think that unforgiveness is like a cancer. And I think that it affects society, particularly right now. I'm seeing it everywhere. And it affects people inside the church because it is a people issue. It therefore is affecting. The church is not immune to that. I mean, if you go to any church, if you go to any group of people gathered together, even in Jesus' name, you find people who are holding grudges, who are frustrated with others, who are carrying in them unforgiveness, things that they can't just get past or they can't get over or they can't get around. And what's fascinating is that when you start to go through the Bible and you start to look at the word forgiveness in the Bible or even unforgiveness in the Bible, it's everywhere. And God is always, almost always, talking about forgiveness for us in the context of the forgiveness that he has offered. You know, I think about Romans 5:8, you know, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. You know, and so God says, let me just tell you how this works. I was willing to forgive you in Christ, sacrifice my own son to offer this to you while you were still the most detestable, unforgivable person imaginable. And so God kind of sets the stage for what that's supposed to look like for us. And so we need to be really, I think, cognizant and aware of what is happening with unforgiveness in us, because if we're not, we're not going to be aware of how it's affecting everyone around us. Have you guys ever been around somebody who just has unforgiveness or bitterness? Because I think bitterness is one of the chief kind of emotions that comes out of unforgiveness. Have you ever been around somebody who's really bitter? What's that like?
It's not fun to be around.
Why is it not fun, Dwayne? What about it is?
It just consumes everything they talk about and their emotions and everything about them.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And it's fascinating what the Bible says about it, because the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, which is probably one of the most stark verses, I think it's one that most of us don't pay attention to, but it says, if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. So this verse says, if you say you love God, but you hate a person, then you are lying about God. Because for God so loved the world, including all the despicable and hateful people in the world, he sent his son to die. God demonstrates his love like this. So then you ought to demonstrate that same kind of love. And you ought to do that. In fact, when in the Bible, when they say, well, how many times should I forgive my brother? Does anybody know how many times?
Every time.
Well, every time, but they do give a specific number.
7 times 7, was it?
Yeah, 7 times 7. 77 times, the Bible says. So, Jesus is saying, listen, that guy can do the same thing to you 77 times, and you need to forgive him.
And wasn't that number even more representative of like an unlimited amount of times? Not necessarily, okay, he's at 76, only two more times or whatever.
Well, and wasn't it 77 times 7?
It isn't. That's in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Jesus says 77. He's like, listen, this is a lot of times. And it's as Mark said, it's this big number that's supposed to make you go, what? You've got to be kidding me. Like, I can't even get past 7 times when they do it. I can't even get past 1 time when they do it. And yet Jesus says, listen, it's this huge number. Why? Because your love is supposed to be bigger than the offense. Your ability to forgive in Christ is supposed to be bigger than the offense. That's the problem, is that maybe what's happening is we're trying to forgive in our own strength and not in the strength of God. And therefore, because it's in our own strength, it's like, well, let's be honest, it's probably not even one time, right? It's probably not even one time. And that's why when we hear, so I mean, you know, you've said, Dwayne, you've been around some people who have bitterness and unforgiveness. What kinds of things do they say? Why can't they forgive? Have you ever encountered somebody and they've told you, hey, well, why can't I forgive them or why can't I?
Maybe something's happened to them in their life earlier that has caused some emotions to come out of them, and they haven't dealt with them.
Yeah.
And I think we all have had those times where you have to take them to the Lord and just lay them at the foot of the cross.
Yeah, totally. You know, I come across people a lot who say to me things like, well, they haven't earned my forgiveness yet. Or, they don't deserve my forgiveness. And I look at that and I go, well, I can't earn the forgiveness of God. And I certainly don't deserve the forgiveness of God. I mean, even on my best day, I mean, Isaiah, who's killing us all, Isaiah's yeah. like, on my best day, my best stuff is still filthy rags next to the purity and glory of the Lord. And so the idea that somebody has to earn forgiveness or they deserve forgiveness, that means that now it's upon them. No, to forgive is upon you. It's a posture of your heart and what you desire to do. And at the core of forgiveness, I think, when I think about it, it's sacrifice. You know, because we need to look at forgiveness from a biblical perspective. And that biblical perspective is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world, for the worst, most despicable things that have happened in the world. And so our forgiveness comes with sacrifice. That means that maybe I have to sacrifice my position or my ideology or, let's just be honest, my comfort, because a lot of forgiveness is I'm just not comfortable forgiving that person.
Yeah, or our pride.
Our pride, yeah. Our pride, totally. And we have to sacrifice those things on the altar. But that's so fascinating that you would say that, Mark, because what does the Bible say about pride?
Mm-hmm.
Pride comes before the fall.
Yeah.
You know, what would the Bible say about like our plans or our positions? Well, man makes his plans, but the Lord guides the way. Every reason that we would come up with why we can't forgive, we can look in the Bible and find out that those positions and those ways and those things that we're holding on to tend to lead us towards a path that isn't good or doesn't end well. And why? Because I think, and this is something I've seen in people, is that when they carry and they harbor unforgiveness, listen, it's like that cancer that's in my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Go unchecked, it begins to kill them. And like you said, Duane, it becomes everything they talk about, everything that they do, the way that they see the world, everything around them becomes peppered by this unforgiveness that they have in them. But imagine if they were to exude the forgiveness that comes from God, then all of a sudden the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and all the fruits of the Spirit and all that happens when Christ is at work in you would begin to flow out of them. And so which thing do we want? Do we want to be held captive by Christ, or do we want to grow this cancer of unforgiveness within us?
Jason, I'm just thinking of the person that is bitter, and I won't say rightly so, but when you experience what they went through or how they were mistreated or abused or violated, I mean, there's legitimate reason. How do they get beyond that? It's I'm sure, a process, and it's understanding God's love and such. But maybe address that a little. And I'm thinking of that one verse, I think it's in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, you know, before you go and make your offering, you try to make things right with the person that maybe has offended you. I don't know if you're going to address that at some point, but I'm sure there's people that are kind of looking at the radio saying, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't understand the depths of the hurt or how it's ruined my life. How do they get beyond that?
Well, I'm going to be really honest with you, because the times when I've forgiven somebody, in my own mind and in my own heart, I have justified why they should not get forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I've made a lawyerly argument with inside of myself why they don't deserve that. I've even tried to get some other people to come around me, and so I can say, well, this is why I act the way I do, and this is why I feel the way I do. So where true forgiveness happens, I think that there's something that's confounding. And it's confounding because it is the work of the Spirit. So if somebody was to say to me, well, how do I do that? I would say, I don't exactly know. But I know that it's something that's going to happen between you and the Lord. In fact, Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you
in Christ. That's key.
Yeah, and so the thing, if you were to say, well, what's the nuts and bolts of this kind of forgiveness? I would say that it is you clinging to the cross. You getting so close to Jesus. Because listen, what did the Apostle Paul say? The Apostle Paul said, of the sinners, I am chief. And I always argue that when he said that, I bet you there were people around him who were like, come on, Paul. Like, there's no way. You're awesome. You're the chief sinner. Come on. But this is what Paul knew. Paul knew that the closer he got to the cross, the more his sinfulness, the more his filthiness, the more his unforgiveness or whatever it was evident to him. Mm-hmm. And so part of being able to cling to unforgiveness means spending time apart from the cross. Because if you get close to God, you get close to his work, you get close to his cross, there is no way that you can hold on to unforgiveness. Because Ephesians 4:32 says, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. You know, when the verse that you quoted that's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, that's religion. Religion can go to God, give him a gift, worship him and do all that, and then walk away and go, man, I hate that guy. I hate that guy so much. Oh, and that guy too, and I don't like him either. You know, we're true worship. You get near to that. You get near to God to worship him, and you go, my heart is breaking because there's some disunity in my life. There's somebody I'm harboring animosity towards. There's somebody that I hate. I have to leave my gift here, and I have to go find them. I have to go mend the fence. I have to wash their feet. I have to go and offer something that seems so counterintuitive to the way I think and so confounding to my human sensibilities that it could only be the work of God.
Yeah, I'm thinking that word confounding is a great one. It's almost miraculous. Like people would say, how can you forgive that person in light of what they did? And then I thought, I don't know where this verse is, but you know, those that have been forgiven much love much.
Yeah.
And I think it's coming to that realization of what I've been forgiven of, you know, mm-hmm. thoughts and actions and attitudes and endless things these many years, you know, in the same way that I receive and accept the forgiveness, I am to extend that to others. So I think it always really begins with us going to the cross and hashing out with the Lord. Maybe we become that judgmental or unforgiving of people because maybe we think a little too highly of ourselves.
Yeah, well, and you know, God desires, I mean, the most lengthy prayer we have of Jesus is a prayer of unity, that we would be one as God the Father, the Spirit, and the Son are one. And so therefore, when we have unforgiveness, we become an instrument of disunity, not only with ourselves, but again, that cancer goes out. I mean, when you find unforgiveness in a church, you begin to find disunity within a church because it begins to go out. A person who has unforgiveness can't help but talk about it with other people. They can't help but say things, even if they don't mean to. I mean, I've been with people who have said something, and I said, wait, what'd you just say? And they go, what do you mean? I didn't even know I just said that. I mean, they don't even realize it because, as you said, Duane, it just begins to come out of them. Somebody once told me, who said, we're like a tube of toothpaste. When you squeeze us, what's inside comes out. No matter how much you want to keep the cap on, at some point that comes out. And ultimately, it affects our spiritual life with the Lord. I love this verse in Isaiah 59. It says, indeed, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save. His ear is not too deaf to hear. But your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Which means that our unforgiveness is actually blinding us from being able to experience fully and work out of the forgiveness of God, the outworking forgiveness of God that's at work in us. And so it's keeping us from God. And I love how this verse, before it tells us what the problem is, God loves to do this, by the way. Before it tells us what the problem is, it tells us what the solution is. The solution is God. His arm is not too short to save. He's not too weak. His ear's not too deaf to hear. I mean, God is present. He's here. He is your help in an ever-present danger and trouble. And listen, the most ever-present danger and trouble we have, is ourselves. Because we can so easily harbor the things that keep us from God and then ultimately hurt and harm our brothers and sisters. And so when we say, what is forgiveness? What we really have to do is say, what is unforgiveness? And then immediately go, how am I harboring unforgiveness? And what do I need to do to reconcile that? Why? Because I want more than anything to bring my gift to the cross. I want to get so close to that cross.
Well, I'm going to close out with the verse I started with because I believe it can be that go-to verse for all of us to cling on to. It's God's truth. It's his statement to all of us to recognize that if we come before him, he will respond. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, and let me close with this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your offenses.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo, Dwayne Berkey, and Alaric Schaffley with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
But deliver us from evil.